On this week's episode of Moral Victories, episode 14, Dougie Dash is back two in a row. Lucky us. And we immediately get into a couple of college football items. Talk middle fingers. Talk Ohio State, Michigan. Who the ultimate number one Ohio State fan is, Big Nut or the Ohio Cowboy. And then, of course, we get into some picks. We're trying to go 5-0. We're trying to end the year at 66%. They said it couldn't be done, and maybe it can't be done, but we're going to give it a try. 5-0 this week. Listen up. All right, let's go.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in that.
Of course,
I got the progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun, not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
Ah, you're full of shit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories with Jared Shanker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
Welcome to episode number 14 of Moral Victories, an early edition, recording on a Monday. Monday Night Football not even haven't been played yet. Took a beating.
What do we like?
Chiefs. But I had a really bad week. So thankfully, anybody listening to this, the Chiefs would have already lost and not covered. Dude, I got crushed. I was able to salvage it with some in-game Vikings plays, but it was a bad week.
We'll get to it, but I felt like Vikings weren't a bad pick.
No, I knew I was done when I saw that like a lot of like the most public ones were the ones that I was on, and I usually am not, but I made my picks and then I saw where the public was and I was like, oh, this is going to be a bad week. And it was. But moving on, we'll get to that later. I am your host, Jared Shanker. Again, episode 14 of Moral Victories joined. That was Dougie Dash's deep bass that you heard on the other end. Two episodes in a row, which
this is a Cal Ripken-esque streak.
You're almost on it. No, it's not a streak yet. Three is a streak. Two is back to right now.
Two just happens.
You're just back to back. But we are recording on Monday to come out on Wednesday, so picks might be worse than usual because I've not been able to do a ton of research into these yet. But I did just see the game of the week, Ohio State at Michigan. Or no, Ohio State, they're at Ohio State. It's Michigan at Ohio State this
Correct.
Year. And I just saw that the Michigan running back made a sort of guarantee that they were going to win.
I like it.
It was a BS guarantee, though. Somebody was like, one of the reporters pretty much went, hey, do you want to like make a guarantee that you guys are going to beat Ohio State? And then he was pretty much like, yeah, I guess I'm not going to say that we're going to lose. So sure, I guarantee a win.
Right.
And then the other guy was like, Devin Bush said it's been a while since we've won. We really need to win. And I think we're going to do that. But of course the headline was immediately Michigan running back guarantees victory over Ohio State.
Ohio State sucks. So
they've replaced Notre Dame as the team that people like that most people seem to hate the most.
Like, well, they're very easy to hate. First of all, Ohio State as a school is easy to hate. I've hated them ever since. Was it the Sugar Bowl? No, the Fiesta Bowl in Miami.
Oh, when they beat Miami.
Yeah, well,
but I feel like most people were on.
For those listening, beat in heavy quotation marks.
He's doing the quote thing. No, I feel like a lot of people were rooting for Ohio State at that point because they were bad the years before, and people generally pull for the underdog. So, I mean, this was now, 16 years ago. I imagine I was probably rooting for Ohio State in that game.
I was heavy the U.
They definitely got jobbed.
Yeah, big time.
But now it's a complete opposite.
Jim Tressel was easy to hate after a while. Urban Meyer is very easy to hate.
Yeah. Their fan, the two fans, the guy that...
The Big Nut?
The Cowboy, yeah. The Big Nut guy. Oh, my God. I want to know who's in his life.
I could write a psychology
who is in his life
thesis
that's not
on Big Nut.
Who in his life is just that staying silent about when he says, hey, I'm the Big Nut guy, or hey, honey, I'm Nobody. Going to the game. Can you paint the back of my head for me?
He has only aligned himself with people that think that's
awesome.
With
the Ohio State Cowboy.
That think that's awesome.
Who also sucks.
Correct.
You know the Cowboy guy? He's always decked out in the white.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we don't like him.
It's a weird, you can have one of those guys. You can't have two.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
like only, one, like yeah, it's like oh, you know, he doesn't really represent us as a fan base. He's kind of the weird
like
guy.
Each other?
But then they get no, dude, one guy sits definitely on one end zone, and the other guy in the other, and God forbid they cross paths as they walk into the stadium.
It's like imagine if like Fireman Ed had like Policeman Dan that he had to like contend with like for like Jets number one fandom.
I really think they probably do have like this unspoken. Passionate hatred for each other about who's truly the one that represents the fan base. If I had to guess, if I'm choosing,
Big Nut.
Yeah,
Nut's
I'm giving it
guy.
To. Is that his name officially, Big Nut guy?
I think it's Big Nut. I'll look it up while you actually talk about what this game is and who you're gonna bet. But I'm gonna look it up.
Hopefully, No Nut November can just mean that guy doesn't show up to the game. Like he's got to just quit for the whole month too, and never breed. I think Michigan opened. 2.5 or 3, and I think it's been bet up to 3.5 at least.
Confirmed, Big Nut.
Big Nut. I don't know. I still would have a hard time. As bad as Ohio State is, and I mean, bad is being used loosely because they're still an above average team. The defense is garbage, and the offense isn't as good as I think people still maybe think of it. But. Before the season,
I think they're an above-average Big Ten team.
Yeah, they're still the second-best Big Ten team.
Behind Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before the season, even as people expected Michigan to be pretty good, Ohio State, I think, was a 7-point favorite in the games of the year, where it's like the lines come out for maybe 100 games.
Right, you're saying this game was obviously one of them.
Yeah.
And they came out at Ohio State giving 7.
10 points is a lot for a game to move.
Yeah.
And this is a game that Michigan has not won once since 2013. But no, they won the year that they didn't have a coach when Fickell was the interim. And then they've never beaten Meyer.
Right.
And I think they beat Trestle once.
Or twice.
No, I don't think they beat Trestle twice.
I don't know. I feel like I remember the sweater vest being disappointed more than once. But
regardless, to bet Michigan to win and cover on the road, I think that's a tall task. It is the revenge tour, though. Yeah, it is the revenge tour, and they have been beaten.
I wasn't
the hell
sure
out of a lot of
if
people.
I liked Winovich.
I don't know if I do either. There's a video of him doing a bit of a cheap shot. It looks like he stomps on someone's ankle last week.
Ooh, I see. I don't hate that. That's not going to make me hate a player.
Yeah.
It's going to make me think he's dirty, but I mean.
I think he's dirty. I think that goes without saying.
I had to defend Ndamukong Suh for like 6 years, and I found a way to do it. So
you'd make a great Ohio State fan.
I wasn't sure if I liked him, but then after every single one of his post-game little talks about just stomping out the other team. They grew on me.
But then he like talked about putting Michigan State in its place and like having to put little brother back in place.
Right.
Michigan State
has
crushed Michigan for the last decade.
Yeah.
So it's like you put them back in their place, but you really never really beat them. And in his career, he went 2-2 against them.
Yeah. He never had his car.
He needed to beat Michigan State to have a winning record against them. I wasn't a fan of that. Generally, I am a fan of trash talk and celebrations and stuff like that, which I was disappointed. Did you see that there was the controversy, the violation of decorum in the Harvard-Yale game?
I did.
Apparently, the running back flipped, as he was running for like the game-sealing touchdown, flipped off the Yale defender.
But then I saw a headline today on Deadspin where it was like, other camera angle shows he didn't, but I didn't click it. I didn't click it. So if you could fill me in.
It's true. He put up the number one. Not the one finger salute. He just like put up the one like, I'm number one or like wagged his finger.
Yeah, with the finger,
style.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't give the guy the middle finger, which I mean, God, that would have been so amazing.
Yeah, it would have been.
Especially in the Harvard-Yale game.
Right. And they lost, right?
Someone's going to do
it. They took back the touchdown?
No, I think Harvard won.
Did they? They still won?
I mean, no, I don't think anybody actually
I would hope so.
Checked the score.
They were
up by a couple touchdowns.
I would hope they still won.
I mean, does anybody...
I was just saying, I would like for this kid not to have lost it for his team, more or less, based on
that'd have been a bad call.
That
would have been a good... No, yeah, they won handily. They won by almost 20.
Must be a Yale thing.
Yeah, a bunch of wussies at Yale.
It's a Yale thing.
No, that was disappointing that he didn't flip him off.
It was a lot cooler when we thought that he did.
Yeah, yeah. Usually the internet does a great job of spreading fake news, and for it to finally tell the truth for once, what a bad opportunity.
Poor spot.
Yeah,
real
what a bad spot to show up, man. Internet, geez, go take five, because...
It's definitely a two-minute minor, at the very least.
Yeah, that I was actually very excited when I saw the video originally. I was like, oh, wow, he just flipped the guy off.
That'll be the most to talk about hockey this episode, folks, by the way.
This episode, yeah. Ranger game going on downstairs right now, though.
As we speak.
They're turning around a little bit. They had been doing okay. I checked the standings.
Yeah, I'm still at 0 minutes watched, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to Islanders game, the third, not to get sidetracked. Nobody cares.
No. I care. That sounds cool. I'd like to go one day. Although I've been in an Islanders game. I've been to a few. It's fine. Did you see the video of? Did you watch the video that we just texted of Les Miles?
Yeah, I did.
He is off to. For those who haven't seen it, Les Miles got asked a question. I didn't even see what the question was. All they posted was Les's video. Something about maybe you don't even know. Maybe they asked about the offense because he talks about how the Kansas fan base is going to be happy and proud of the offense, as well as what they do in the community. And then
a lot of community.
Then he just repeats the word community for a good 30 seconds because he just loses his train of thought. And I wonder if that was the truck that just like ran into Les when he realized he's like, oh my God, I'm the coach at Kansas for football. And I could be in a little bit of trouble here.
How come?
Kansas is not good at football. They don't really have the resources to even be sort of competitive. Actually, and I will say this. People have been given that hire like a lot of criticism. Like, why would you hire this guy who's in his 60s who really wasn't that good his last few years? Why wouldn't you hire somebody
who less?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you hire somebody who's young, somebody who can maybe...
Who's coaching at Kansas?
That's the thing.
Who's coming? Who's,
they tried the young up-and-comer.
Who's
tried
knocking
the young
down
up
the
and
door
comer.
At Kansas?
Yeah, they tried the young whippersnapper, David Beatty, and they were brutal.
I mean,
and
they've been brutal
they tried, I forget his
Since
name.
Charlie Weiss, they've been brutal.
Before that, Turner Gill at Buffalo. He was like the ones, like, they got this guy from Buffalo.
If you can win at Buffalo,
then you're going to be able to win at Kansas, no issue. And I think he lasted two seasons. They were really bad under Turner Gill. Kansas just hired a guy that has a national title.
The other heavyset coach?
Mark Mangino.
Yeah, and he wasn't that good either.
No, he took him to an Orange Bowl, and then he got fired for allegedly abusing players.
Really?
Yeah. Real old school type guy.
I do not remember that at all.
Real old school type guy.
What year is that?
He got fired?
Yeah, what are we talking? Yeah, I mean, what's... Well,
Orange Bowl, they played and lost to Chase Daniel. The last game Chase Daniel probably started. Yeah. Probably the last game that Chase Daniel started.
Wow.
And then Mangino got fired, I think, the year after, a year or two after.
Okay.
And that's when they went to Turner Gill, I believe.
Right.
But Kansas just hired Les Miles. He's got a national championship. Even if it fails, you've failed with Les Miles rather than you have to, like, you failed with another... Not even hotshot coordinator, because nobody that's a hotshot coordinator is going to go there.
Les Miles is already the most accomplished head coach in the history of Kansas. So
probably.
And he hasn't even held one practice.
At least of, like, probably post-World War II.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, anybody, like, post-segregation. Like, right.
So, yeah, I don't understand. This is probably way too much Kansas talk. We should probably just cut it there.
That's fine. Who do they play? Who do they play this week?
Kansas?
Yeah. Yeah, Kansas.
I honestly have no idea. Oh, right. They play Texas, and they're not letting the Texas mascot in.
All right, well, whatever it is, I'm taking Kansas.
Well, they beat Texas 2 years ago. That's what got Charlie Strong fired.
I think we got to take Kansas this week.
I mean, actually, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to take Kansas. They're coming off a pretty good showing at Oklahoma, a game that I gave on here. I gave Kansas plus 36.
Did they cover?
They did. See, quite easily.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we're onto something.
If they got killed last week and then Texas was coming off this big win at Iowa State, I would feel more comfortable taking Kansas. Look up what the line is real quick. I don't have it in front of me. I'd imagine it's probably like 20, 26, 27, 28, something like that. 24. It'll be between 24 and 28, my guess. But I mean, I could see it. I could see them covering again. David Beatty's last game.
Win one for the Gipper.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what other games you got? And then I'll come back once I find Texas, Kansas line.
The line?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think we could also, before we even get into lines, one that I do sort of like, I don't know if I'm going to play it, Oklahoma giving 2.5 on the road at West Virginia. I don't know.
Is Will Grier butt?
No, he's not. The game management at the end of the Oklahoma State game was cheeks, though. That shit was cheeks.
Right.
They started the first play. I think they had about 35 seconds maybe when they got the ball back. And they complete a pass inbounds. And they have two timeouts. And they don't call either of them, assuming that you can get up and either spike the ball or whatever. And they pretty much lost 10 seconds there. Now you got about 20 seconds to go 60, 70 yards. And then they had one play at the end of the game. At that point, I wanted to see them lose. They had already blown the cover. That was part of the reason why this weekend did not go great. West Virginia up by double digits covering, as far as covering goes, at halftime, did not. Wake Forest also up double digits at halftime as far as covering, did not. Oregon, I believe, at halftime, if not at halftime, at some point in the game, up double digits as far as covering goes and did not. Went really rough there. Houston on Sunday as well. So it could have been a good week.
Yeah.
And it really went south in the second half of games. But
I've actually, like, when I was texting the other day, I'm amazingly 8-8 in my last 16 football bets. And that's including, like, just like everything, like from
like props.
Props to games to overs.
Yeah.
Just.
I guess that's how it's sort of supposed to be, though.
Right, I'm just not
generally
getting anywhere.
Yeah,
just like
losing a little bit by being 50-50.
Right, I'm just losing the vig every time.
Yeah. Well, I that's better than losing what I lost on Sunday. I'm not going to get in, not a numbers guy, so I'm not going to get into it. But it was a decent amount.
What, that game's on Saturday, right?
Texas, Kansas.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
Actually, it might be on Thanksgiving or on Friday.
Okay.
I don't know why it's taking you this long to find it, but
because I'm
staying, high. Yeah, staying in the Big 12, I would lean toward Oklahoma.
15.
That's a lot lower than
Kansas is getting 15.
Yeah, I don't know how comfortable I am. Only getting two touchdowns if I'm gonna bet with Kansas, I feel like I gotta have more than two touchdowns probably.
That's fair.
General rule of thumb, maybe. Oklahoma, West Virginia, I think Oklahoma's going to win that. I just think that they're ultimately the better team. Although the West Virginia defense isn't terrible. They were terrible against Oklahoma State, and what Oklahoma's displayed on defense,
they're
lately
a Big 12
really
defense,
bad.
So they are terrible by
yeah,
default.
Yeah. By affiliation.
Yeah,
they're bad by affiliation.
By default, yeah. They are just terrible.
Yeah. But I think Oklahoma would win this game, and it's one that's on there. I'm definitely considering it. They're not. The West Virginia defense isn't trash, but with Kyler Murray, Hollywood Brown, the running backs that they have there, I'm more comfortable taking Oklahoma in a meaningful game.
I like Kyler Murray.
Where the chips, like, you know, they're playing for the Big 12 title essentially right now. And
correct.
I know there's still the Big 12 championship game, but. This is, I mean, they're playing to keep their playoff hopes alive. And in a must-win game, I will side with Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley over West Virginia I guess is what I'm saying. Because I do think the Oklahoma defense can make the stops when it needs to in a big game. Even though they haven't really done that.
I was like, based on intuition.
The defense is as bad as it is, it's still more talented than the West Virginia defense.
Okay.
But I guess, yeah, I don't know. When it really has come down to a critical stop, they really have been able to do it. Iowa State a little bit, but Texas, whenever they needed to stop against Texas, they couldn't get it.
They blew it, yeah.
Whenever they needed to stop against Oklahoma State, they really couldn't. Even against Kansas last week, Kansas was just going up and down the field in the second half.
Those are their two losses, right?
Oklahoma?
And yeah, Texas and Oklahoma State.
No, they beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State went for two.
Right, and didn't get it.
Yeah. Ballsy call.
Yeah.
I liked it. Didn't like the Panthers going for it, though.
Ooh, Lions. Yeah. They screwed me once again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
When they win, I lose.
I don't think Patricia's a good coach.
I think he's a fine coach. I think really what it comes down to every single time is Matthew Stafford laying on his ass again? Oh, no, he's standing upright.
They
was probably a pretty good play. Like, we can make things happen, but not when he's running around. Our defense is sorry, though. It's not that good.
Did you see Jared Dave? He might be the fastest man in the NFL. He almost caught DJ Moore on that, like, almost 90-yard touchdown. Like, Darius Slay ended up getting him,
yeah.
But Jared Davis, who objectively in most ways sucks.
He's bad.
He was at the goal line when DJ Moore caught it at 20 and was inches within catching him.
Him? Well, yeah, and Darius Slay actually ran faster than, like, anybody, like...
He had a faster combine time.
It was like 23. He was almost like 24 miles an hour yesterday, like from like next gen stat shit. But our Florida draft picks have been terrible. Tease Tabor is the worst.
Not a good
cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, not a good cornerback.
Yeah, and Dry Davis is also
not a good player.
Not that good of a linebacker. So Bob Quinn, two misses there, but we'll see what happens.
But what Florida has right now, I got them 3.5 on the road at Florida State. Florida State playing for a bowl, but this is Florida's best chance at ending a long losing streak.
How long has it been?
Florida State. They last won in 2012.
Yeah. And it's in
They've had a couple bad defeats. It is in Florida State.
Which we've seen this year doesn't really mean anything. What game was that? Where they just were... Oh, Clemson just mollywopped them. And that guy was...
It's a good word, mollywopped.
That guy was reading
I think
book.
People probably need an Urban Dictionary mollywopped because you'll be entertained.
That guy was...
I don't think you can say that on the air, mollywopped.
He can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he can.
But that guy had his shirt off and he was reading the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can see it like that again. Is Florida good, though?
No, I'd say this. They probably win by like 7 to 10. Maybe two touchdowns if they're trying to pour it on because they haven't beat Florida State in so long. So I could see them.
I just think Florida State is really, really bad.
They're not good. But what they do have is they have talented skill guys, which is how they beat Boston College. They hit the 75-yard touchdown to come back and win the game. They have guys that can beat you. I trust Florida a little bit more than I trust Florida State there. Elsewhere, I've been on Virginia against Virginia Tech like 3 out of the last 4 years.
Okay.
And I think they covered the last 2 when Frank Beamer was a Virginia Tech coach. And then they got annihilated in 2016.
Yeah, they did. There was one year that I'm thinking back where they were just...
I think they lost by about 40.
Destroyed.
Yeah, they lost by about 40 in Fuente's first year, and which was also Bronco Mendenhall's first year. And then last year, I did take them. I want to say they were probably a touchdown underdog, and they didn't score. They did hold them to 10 points, but they just didn't score, and it's hard to cover when you don't put up any points. But I think...
That does make it hard.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult that way. I don't love that Virginia is at 4 on the road at Virginia Tech. I feel better if that's...
You like a couple more points in your pocket there?
Because I could see...
Six?
I think they win. No. I think they win.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this is still... They haven't won in like 14 years. The same thing as with Michigan. it's
you got to just throw out the other. You know, those kids were like 8 years old when this streak started.
But it is a real thing. Rivalry games, I like to side with underdogs in rivalry games because there really is a difference. So when Oklahoma State was a 21.5 point underdog, we talked about that 2 weeks ago on here. I said it's like there's really no way that I'm going to take a favorite in a rivalry game that's giving 20 points.
Right. You did say that.
I did. And Virginia, even though that they are okay on offense and they're really good on defense, and Virginia Tech is not good on offense and not good on defense, you're kind of setting up where Virginia can get to 24 points. I still think the mental aspect of not beating a team for 14 straight years definitely plays a role. Like, Virginia should have beaten them a couple times over the last few years, and they haven't.
Yeah, choked it away or...
Yeah.
Right.
So...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't love that number of four.
It definitely does play a role, even though...
Like, because you hear about it all year.
Right.
And when you haven't won 14 times in a row, then you hear about that on top of that you didn't win last year. Like, it's like you've guys... Like, don't even you pretty much hear how you don't belong on the same field as these guys for 14 straight years. There's a mental thing there.
It's like Edison High.
Yeah, I don't even know that's our old high school. I don't even know if they win anymore. I saw them in the playoffs.
No, we were good. They're good now, but when we lost 40 straight games,
we got relegated. We were in La Liga, and then we just got dropped.
Yeah, so we got pushed down.
Yeah, we're Serie B now.
But
Serie B.
But to the point though. It's gonna have to.
I think they win this year.
You know, the odds are.
I think they win this year, but I could see by being like a field goal, and you losing on the spread there. Syracuse, we've got a couple rivalry games. Syracuse getting 7 at BC. Syracuse not as good as they've shown in some games. I don't think they're as bad as they showed against Notre Dame. I could see Syracuse winning that game outright against Boston College, and I do lean Syracuse getting 7. An ugly, ugly underdog that got lost by about 40 to Iowa. I'm not sure. I stopped looking at what that score was. It wasn't close. Illinois just got the shit kicked out of them by Iowa. But
yes, they did.
Maybe we'll take them against Northwestern, getting 18 points.
Northwestern's not that good, are they?
They're solid. They're what you expect Northwestern to be.
I expect Northwestern to be
bad.
5-6.
Well, they play 12 games. So they, 5-7 or 6-6? What do you see them as?
What are they right now?
I want to say they're probably 6-5, 7-4.
Oh, okay. So that's better than I would expect them to be.
Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald still the coach?
Yeah, sure is. Probably going to win Big Ten Coach of the Year this year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's got them. They're going to play in the Big Ten Championship game next week, which is a reason as to why.
Is his quarterback just like a future Case Keenum?
They were talking about Clayton Thorson being a potential first-round pick, and I never believed it.
Really?
But he's proven this year that he's not a first-round pick.
Oh, okay.
He's been up and down. Northwestern, to answer the question, 7-4.
Okay, so yes, better.
Coming off an impressive road win at Minnesota, though. A lot of people pegged them to lose. They were an underdog on the road. They ended up winning by double digits, I believe, against Minnesota. So they're a solid team, but with a Big Ten championship game coming up the following week, and you know you're playing Ohio State and Michigan, that kind of feels like a game where your head's not completely in it. You're kind of looking toward next week.
Right.
So I like the situation more than I like Illinois. And Illinois can score a little bit. So Illinois getting 18, that's a maybe. Keep that.
That's a maybe?
That's going to be one where it's like 11:59 on Saturday. And it's like, do I really? Am I doing this? Are we doing this? Are we taking Illinois again? So I have taken them before this year. They did cover.
And how did they cover for
you?
Yeah,
against USF.
Okay.
Almost beat them.
They almost beat USF?
Yeah.
Interesting. National champions?
S. F.
Oh, right. The Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Charlie Strong. Champions. Nope. Right. UCF national championships potentially again this year, though, because they're not going to get in the playoff.
No, they're not.
But they're going to win.
Does that suck?
They're probably going to not this year, because I think if you have Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame all undefeated, and then Michigan is 12-1 as a Big Ten champ with their only loss to Notre Dame,
right?
Then I don't think UCF has an argument.
Should UCF now? Should UCF and Notre Dame have to play each other for like the four seed? Because Notre Dame doesn't really have to play anybody in a conference championship.
Ooh, now we're thinking
like a play-in
UCF,
game?
Yeah. Notre Dame,
like in, yeah, Notre Dame. UCF.
They don't get off easy because they're not in conference. They got to play that week too,
right?
And then
whoever
Memphis
wins gets in.
They're supposed to, UCF is supposed to play Memphis in the AAC championship game. And you're mm-hmm. just like, sorry, Memphis.
Yeah,
you can have
right.
You can have the American Conference Championship. UCF is going to give up the conference championship for a chance at the playoff.
Yes,
those are the terms.
Yeah, to go play Notre Dame.
That'd be interesting.
Could be cool.
Write a letter.
To who?
Notre Dame's AD.
Mark Emmert?
I'm sure UCF would sign up in a heartbeat.
Definitely.
Notre Dame's Jack Swarbrick, the AD there, probably not so much.
Oh.
They're going to... I have Notre Dame covering 8 at
Isn't
USC.
Is he a doctor, I think? I think he is a doctor.
I don't know. It's just a random stat. It's good for Jeopardy one day if you're ever on. Notre Dame, they could kill USC. I don't know if Clay Helton's going to get fired there because he's going to be owed a bunch of money. And Lynn Swan just took over as athletic director. A very odd choice. Last time I saw Lynn Swan, he was getting intimidated by and threatened by Vicky Valancourt.
That's just I don't know. Guess that Lynn Swan. That's just a job where like you're just like an old respected guy. And you've just like been around long enough where they're like, all right, you were a great Trojan, so I guess like...
Want the job?
Yeah, like you probably don't have any real qualifications, I'm assuming.
I don't think he did.
Like, unless he went back to school and got like his master's degree in administration, yeah. Like, but I would assume he was just
hey...
I assume that he was friends with like Boosters and Boosters.
Yeah, right. You want to be RAD?
Let's get Lynn Swan in there.
Yeah. It bodes well for Matt Leinart eventually as the USC athletic director.
Yeah, that's honestly probably exactly right.
Make him head coach.
No, he doesn't want to be head coach. He doesn't want anything to do with a football field.
You don't think so?
No.
Condoleezza Rice, apparently, future Cleveland Browns coach.
Francesa was so upset by that news.
It was. I can't believe
ESPN actually was reported.
ESPN let them publish that, because there is obviously absolutely no way that, even if it's floated out there by the Cleveland Browns,
right?
Obviously, there's no way they're going to name Condoleezza Rice their head coach.
I think Condi, like,
and no way are they going
to. She was like, "We'd love to call a player too."
Is that what she tweeted?
Yeah. I was like, shut up.
Honestly, she's probably a better play caller than Hugh Jackson.
Well, what Rex Ryan said on like one of the ESPN shows, he was like, one thing is for sure, the day that she stepped in the building, she would by far be the smartest head coach in the NFL. And I was like, yeah, well, that's definitely true.
That is technically true.
Right.
But it's just like sometimes, obviously, that was done just to get a bunch of people talking and talking about it. Because there's no way that she's going to get a legit interview to be a head coach. Of course. She could be in the front office. I don't think there's any question that she could be in the front office, that she's smarter than probably a lot of people in the front office. And if you give her, if you give her a month to just deep dive into football,
yeah, she could be like a COO, no problem.
I think she could even potentially be somebody who puts together a roster.
Like director of football operations or something like
that. Exactly. Right. Where she can use analytics and... maybe have somebody be her right-hand man breaking down some tape.
Somebody, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And, I mean, in baseball, they have, you know, it's like almost like Wall Street whiz kid types.
Yeah. Paul De Podesta.
Yeah.
You know.
They don't have exactly like, you know, they didn't grow up in the game as far as just knowing the ins and outs of bunting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. It's like, right. You know, right. So.
No, I agree with you. I think that she's, and people like her, like, it's like football is not that hard to figure out.
I had this conversation with David Hale when he was on.
Every single first round, for the most part, I've been able to be like, he's probably going to be a bust.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be pretty good. And like, yeah.
Every once in a while, you're wrong. But,
right. But I knew Jamarcus Russell going one overall was a terrible choice. And I was 12 years old.
Everybody except Al Davis knew that.
You know what I mean? Like,
God rest his soul.
Oh my God! Sorry, Al.
No, I had that conversation with David Hale 2 months ago. That football people want you to believe that only football people can succeed in football.
Right.
That no outsider that didn't play the game from when they were 5 years old to now that they're 65. Also, coaches generally old as fuck.
Very.
I couldn't believe when they said like Dirk Cutter. They're like Dirk Cutter. He could get fired this year. Like the 59, 60-year-old coach. I was like, Dirk Cutter's 60?
Dude, Pete Carroll's like 83.
But at least Pete Carroll's earned the right to keep coaching at 83.
Well, yeah, I know, but like, he's old.
Like Kyle Shanahan or Sean, like, it's crazy that somebody like that, maybe 15 years ago, would have just got passed over again and again until they were in their late 40s.
Yeah, Sean McVay is like 2 years older than you and me.
Coaching guys who are older than him.
Yeah. Crushing it.
Yeah. He's probably doing well for himself out in LA.
Some guys have all the luck.
Yeah. Let's run through a few more picks. NC State giving 6 on the road at UNC. I feel like everybody knows my general feelings on NC State. They routinely just disappoint. You are putting your faith in Dave Doran, which is always a risky proposition. But Dave Doran is a spiteful man, and I could see him just wanting to drill UNC as they continue to be down.
Spite is an incredible motivator.
It is. It really, especially for somebody like Dave Doran. I feel like it's very strong.
I would
very
say,
strong for me.
Yeah. It's my body runs on.
You thrive
spite.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think Larry Fedora. He could. I don't think he's gonna get fired. I think they're gonna give him one more year. But if Dave Doran beats them by 40. Then I think there's a good chance that Larry Fedora gets fired. And I think Doran would especially
relish that.
Relish. Yeah, thank you for that word. I was gonna be paused for, I was gonna be less milesing it right there. I was gonna be like community. No, I think he would especially relish being the one who got the UNC coach fired. Stanford.
Side note, Larry Fedora is kind of a crazy guy.
I know Larry decently well from my time there. He's charged up, I will say.
Fair enough.
He doesn't need any performance enhancing boosters, but the dude loves Red Bull and crushes Red Bull, so it's like 20 times more than he really ever should be. His military diatribe was insane during the preseason though.
Right, that's what I was referencing. But
I don't think his general overall perspective that he was his point that he was trying to get across, that there is still a lot of information about CTE that isn't known and people do sensationalize it and kind of run away with it. I do think there are points to be made to a degree in that regard, but Larry Fedora is not the one that should be distilling them.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
But he's very good chance he gets fired anyway. Stanford did not play this week. Awful stuff was going on in California. That I've seen some of the pictures. And they were saying, I read in the New York Times today that at the campfire's height, it was engulfing a football field's worth of land.
Yeah, like every 10 seconds or a second. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
I can't even fathom what that's like. I had a couple people I know out there send me pictures of like fires in their front yards. It's intense. And I saw the skyline of what San Francisco looks like.
Yeah, well, there's two. I mean, there's the ones down in LA and the ones up in San Fran.
It's
nuts.
It looks post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And so Stanford and Cal did not play their traditional rivalry game last week. It got delayed for next week. So Stanford's coming up, you would say, maybe with a little bit of rest, but given that situation, you don't really know.
Right.
You know
what's going on with the team.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people.
Families,
a lot of people who know people, or you're hosting family, you're checking in on family, you're out there dealing with all that stuff. Who knows what exactly that off week did for Stanford. But UCLA, coming off a big win against USC, they've gotten better over the course of the year. But I think Stanford giving 5.5, I do like the Cardinal there. Already touched on Florida, already touched on Notre Dame. I don't like taking road favorites a ton, but there are a couple on here this week. NC State, Stanford, Florida, Notre Dame. But end it with a home dog that burned me last week. Baylor, that was the most frustrating game I've ever seen. And Matt Rule's a good coach, a really good coach, which is what was more frustrating because they had so many penalties that pretty much took points off the board. They really sort of inexplicably went under center when they were a 99% shotgun team at the goal line, immediately fumbled a snap, TCU recovers, scores a touchdown on that drive. That pretty much flipped the game right there.
Right.
But Baylor getting 7 to make a bowl game against Texas Tech, win and they make a bowl, lose and they don't.
I'm going to take them to lose.
Yeah. Well, they can lose. I don't care if they lose.
Yeah.
Lose by 6 or less.
I think Baylor has worked up enough bad juju
that karma will not allow it.
Yeah, I would just like to see them lose. Actually, now that I think about it. So, who are they playing?
They are hosting Texas Tech.
Big Red Raider guy.
Coming off a bad loss, but I wouldn't let that completely... They're not as bad as they looked, Texas Tech. Not as good as they played against Texas.
Who's their head coach?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I like him. So, handsome
you
guy.
You got a little Cliff kind of vibe going on, I feel like. Ooh, you guys would be friends, probably. So that's what I got. We need a big week after last week. I ended up going 3-4 on my bets.
700 is done. It's dead.
It's pretty close to dead.
Oh, you're going to have to bet like I'm going to have to go 20.
I'd have to probably go 20-0. So I've accepted that 70% is not going to happen. I mean, I pretty much knew that wasn't going to happen regardless. I think I'm 45 and 26. So that puts me at what? 63%. So if I can go, if I can go 5-0 this week.
Okay.
So that puts me at 50 and 75, right? No, that's not correct. 50 out of 76.
Yeah, so 15-26. So no. Because 15-25 would be.
Right now I'm 45 and 27. Right now I'm 45 and 26.
Right. So
it's 45 divided by 71.
I don't know. But
that's 63. So if I go 5-0, that's 50 and 26.
Right, which is a little bit under 667.
You sure?
I think so.
That would put me at 66%.
Because 15-25 is 667.
You're right.
Yeah.
So 70% is dead. But 66% would be killer.
It would be nice. It'd be a nice way to cap the year. So
2-2 out of 3.
We'll see what happens.
I got to pick 5. I wasn't planning on picking 5 this week, but now I have to.
Well, you'll throw them up on the website. You'll throw them up on Twitter.
I will. Yeah. We're not ready for that yet.
No, it's way too early in the week.
Real quick, what do you got NFL-wise?
Like I said.
Too early?
Just
way too early.
Didn't even get a chance to look at one line.
It's Monday. I mean, it's tough. They have.
You know what I'll give you, though? I'll give you whatever the Lions are, take
the
Bears.
Team? Take the Bears?
Yeah. Even though we're home.
It's probably like 4. It's probably like 4.5.
We're home on Thanksgiving, which we've played actually very well.
They have.
In recent years, other than last year where the Vikings beat us. But Kerryon definitely out this week. Didn't tear the ACL.
I did see that, a
sprain, which is nice. But going to be a lot of Zach Zenner. And I just imagine...
He's still the backup.
Yeah. Well, LeGarrette Blount as well, but Blount's pretty bad. And Theo Riddick. It'll just be a hodgepodge of mediocrity. But I just expect to see Stafford running for his life. Like, unless the Lions figure out a way to block Khalil Mack, which doesn't look like it's possible.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But take the Bears.
So that's his luck. Anybody that's playing...
Oh, you know what I did see, actually? Saints Falcons the Thanksgiving night game. The Saints are favored by 13. That just seems like a lot in a division game. Saints are home, but 13 is a lot. Falcons are, I know they're not good, but they're not that bad.
That feels like Falcons.
Feels
but
like
also,
the over. It feels like the over, and it feels like the Falcons.
Felt like Eagles this week, and that wasn't close.
Oh, I never felt the Eagles once.
No,
Saints.
Never felt
Saints.
It.
Saints.
Never
are, felt yeah. it. Yeah.
Cincinnati, then, I thought had a good chance to cover against them 2 weeks ago, and they also just got annihilated.
Yeah. But the other game, I'll give you the Thanksgiving trio. Cowboys Redskins. I don't think anybody cares anymore. Rest in peace, Alex Smith's leg.
On the anniversary of Theismann.
Yeah, same exact final score too. Think
really?
About that. Yeah, think about that.
That's some cosmic shit,
right? But Colt McCoy, you know, who knows?
Wow, that's a real mind blow.
Yeah, Colt McCoy going home to Texas could be cool. So
you know what? That's a storyline. That's a storyline. So are you giving Redskins?
Adrian Peterson going back to Texas?
Are you giving?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, Redskins?
I don't know what I'm. I don't know what the line is, but we'll see.
It's probably four-ish.
Yeah, I would say 4.5, maybe.
They played well with Colt at the quarterback against Texans.
Yeah, but that's a free NFL, so that's the trio. All so right. If I had to give it to you, I'd go Bears.
This comes
Cowboys,
out Wednesday, so Thanksgiving special from Dougie Flynn. Do you
Cowboys,
like Thanksgiving? Are you a Thanksgiving guy?
My favorite holiday ever. I get blacked out. I eat Lions.
Are you blacked out?
I'm blacked out by the halftime.
Dinner?
No,
before dinner?
By halftime of Lions game.
Have you eaten by then?
No, but I've drank a lot of Manhattans.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
while
I
you're
Thanksgiving.
Cooking?
Oh, yeah.
So,
music's on.
The things that you make later in the day are generally far worse than whatever you started
on?
No,
because I do everything on Wednesday, like the day before.
So you're just heating up on Thursday?
I'm really just throwing things in the oven and doing the turkey, which is easy. So, come over. Grab a plate.
Yeah, I'll come over, actually.
All right, cool.
Why not? I'm not a huge Thanksgiving food guy.
Oh, well, sorry. Pumpkin pie. I know it's your favorite.
Love pumpkin pie.
We'll get some.
Oh, God.
All
love
right,
pumpkin pie.
Bring us home.
Well, that is it. Episode 14 of Moral Victories is in the books. Doug will be cooking up a storm. I will be coming over, getting the pumpkin pie.
Enjoy your Thanksgivings, everybody.
Yeah, everybody, we appreciate the support that we have. Obviously, there's a lot of podcasts out there. Not as many that gives out winners. I will pat myself on the back on that one. Doug's been pretty solid on his NFL picks as well. Obviously, maybe not this 8-8 run, but previously, previously he had been doing pretty well. So we appreciate anybody who listens or anybody who follows along. Picks haven't been sterling the last few weeks, but they've been 500 the last 2 weeks, which is fine. But we're gonna try to get to 66%. 5-0 this week. And that is our show.